All right, so we've done a couple interviews the last couple weeks. Had Brian on from the concession club and talked to our girl Dottie Pepper. But we decided to get the boys back together, me, Caleb, Joe, talk about the Zurich Classic.
Let's do it. I'm looking forward to chatting about it.
Yeah, and thanks to a hookup, I got to go down for Friday of the tournament. It was great. It was just a fun tournament. I really haven't been to... I don't know if I've been to a PGA tournament outside of a major, which sounds kind of bougie, but like, you know, tickets are pretty cheap to majors, and you know, we're driving distance in Nashville from...
Yeah, didn't you catch a Greyhound down to New Orleans, something like that?
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, like, you know, we've had majors in Atlanta and in Louisville, and so I've, like, you know, driven up to those for a day or two, and yeah, but the Zurich was great. It was a ton of fun. I think I have so there's a couple key takeaways from being there, and then we can talk tournament stuff too. But I would say number one biggest takeaway for anyone listening to this is you have to go to a PGA Tour event right now. Like, one that's close, you should just go to, because there's no one out there. And it's basically the equivalent of getting courtside seats to a marquee NBA game for $30.
Do you know how many people were there Thursday when y'all were there?
No.
If you had to guess.
I have no idea. I wouldn't say more than 5,000.
So you could kind of get up close pretty much anywhere you wanted to, unless it was...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had some great pairings. Like, you know, we had Scheffler and Watson. We had... Xander and Cantlay, obviously Finau, Champ. Like, you had a lot of those guys that were like in pretty good groups and like had a good amount of people following them, but like you could jump around from group to group and get right on the ropes, like no problem at all.
Did you watch Kokrak and Perez at all?
A little bit, yeah.
I think in real life they're boys.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep. Yeah, we jumped around a lot on Friday, which was really fun. Saw a lot of the course, which the course looks really, really great. I think they just redid like a lot of the greens in particular, and as our girl Dottie would say, the transition areas. But yeah, the course looks awesome. Buddy of mine that I went with, Wade, has played it a handful of times. He played it 3 weeks ago, so it feels like he kind of got it like right before the conditions that the guys were playing in. And so it was nice to have somebody there that could talk about the course a little bit and like have some knowledge of it. But man, those guys are so good. Like, they're just so good. And it's so fun to watch them up close.
Was there anything that was more impressive than the others or more impressive than you expected?
I mean, how hard Tony Finau hits a golf ball is pretty impressive. And he would just like, it doesn't look like he's really trying that hard. And you know how he has that like 70% backswing, and he just mauls the golf ball. Like, it's just dumb.
Think about how far he could hit it if he took it all the way back.
I know.
Maybe he should give that a shot. If he's just going to, you know, it's like, if you're not going to win, just be the guy that hits it furthest.
Yeah, so I mean, number one piece of advice to anybody that's a golf fan right now, just go to any golf tournament. Like, it was fun, you know, like...
You heard the man, get out there.
Yeah, get out there, support, go watch the guys. Like, I mean, seriously, like, we just jumped around the whole day and, like...
So cool.
Had such a fun time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so Graham McDowell hits a hole-in-one on Saturday on hole 17. And my buddy Wade and I were right behind the tee box when it happened. So we were right there. And
this was Saturday?
No, Friday. Yeah, Friday. Friday was alternate shot. And him and Wallace, Matt Wallace, started on the back nine. I think they were plus one for the day at the time. So they were about to make the turn. But I tell you what. Graham hits this shot, and the par threes there are tough. Like, they were all really, really hard.
Brutal.
Yeah, they were all really difficult. I think nine's a par three. I think on Sunday, the closest shot on Sunday was 33 feet away until the final group, and Leishman hit it 7 feet. And so there were, I mean, all four of the par threes were super difficult. But so McDowell and Wallace get up to 17, and McDowell hits his tee shot and immediately picks up his tee.
And doesn't watch the ball?
No, doesn't watch the ball. Actually, and like, I think I saw this. And he, I mean, it was just a beautiful looking shot, like right off the club face. Like it was a low draw. It was super windy that day. And if you were going to get it close, like you had to hit the front of the green and kind of run it back to the hole. And I think he hit it and he was like, oh, that's good. Like I see it off the club face. Like we're fine. Like it's going to be up there somewhere. And so he literally hits this ball. He picks up his tee like you would after you hit a good drive. You're not even watching where it goes. And he flicks this tee like 10 or 15 feet in front of the tee box like it's a cigarette butt. I mean, he's just like, boom, hit the shot, pick up the tee, flick the tee, and then he just goes and stands beside his caddy. And you're like seeing the crowd like by the green and in the stands start to just like kind of stand up and get louder and louder and louder. Yeah. And like literally just like erupts and like the ground shaking and like Matt Wallace, like, you know, grabs him, is like shaking him around and like super fired up. And it kind of turned the round around because I think they ended up shooting like 69 on Friday and kind of getting back in the mix a little bit. But one, amazing to see a hole in one live and in person. Two, Graham McDowell has way more swag than I ever gave him credit for, because he just like, I mean, I've never seen anyone decide that I'm not gonna watch my shot on a par three.
Dude, I'd love to know what he was thinking. I wonder if he was just like, yeah, it'll be pretty good, no worries.
No, yeah, I just think he was like, oh, okay, it's gonna be up there somewhere. We're gonna have a shot at it, and then like he didn't even watch it go in.
Dude, maybe I've made a hole in one before and just didn't see it. Didn't see
it. I like
did you
that.
Pull it out of a cup?
Maybe somebody else did.
All right, so I don't mean to harp on Matt Wallace and Graham McDowell, but Matt Wallace might have the most sensitive ears on the PGA Tour right now. And I don't know if you all remember, but in the tournament a couple weeks ago, the Valero, he was in the final group with Spieth, and Dottie was actually on the mic on course, and she was like, hey, Wallace is like, I think the crowd's kind of getting to him a little bit. Like, he's trying to tell him to, like, you know, stop walking and settle down a little bit and, like, you know, all this stuff. And then there was a big crowd following them, obviously, with Spieth in the final group. But we are walking up to 14T, and we're pretty far away. And he turns around and gives us the old hand up in the air. Hey guys, stop walking.
He stopped
right
you.
Now. Yeah. Hey guys, stop walking right there, please. And
really?
Yeah. And my buddy Wade looks at me and he's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess if he hits a bad shot, it's our fault. And like I was
well, it's cool that you talked to Matt Wallace.
Yeah, yeah. We're best friends now. We're best friends. But I'm just convinced that that Matt Wallace is maybe the most sensitive guy when it comes to noise out there. After those two instances, one personal, one via Dottie Pepper's great on-course commentary.
Does he not have a caddy to do that for him?
I don't know. I mean, like,
I mean, he has to tell his caddy to hush too. Maybe it's.
We were a good 25 yards away and like walking on the grass. Like we were not like, and obviously, like we're both big golfers. Like we can respect like. And maybe it's that there were four of us beside his tee box at the time, but I don't know. Matt Wallace, don't get anywhere near him while he's trying to hit a golf ball. He will yell at you.
I guess. Just imagine when they get back to full capacity. I know. They'll be shook out there.
Yeah, he's not going to be anywhere near the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, he needs to win one. Pronto.
Okay, next take here. Why is the U.S. just so terrible at team golf?
They're guys, just, come on.
I'm really nervous about the Ryder Cup after watching our U.S. pairings of Cantlay, Schauffele, and Watson and Scheffler just really not play very well on the weekend. And I also... What were you going to say, Joe?
Well, I was going to say, who's on the... who's projected on the team so far?
Yeah, so like there's top 12 standings right now, and like Xander's in, Cantlay's 13th right now. So like he's
12, right?
12. Yeah, 12. So he's like right on the line. Right now, Bubba and Scotty aren't currently in, but I kind of wonder if they could be some captain's picks potential there. But at the same time, like after maybe how they played, I don't know if I'd expect them to be captain's picks. But like Scotty played really well at the, obviously at the match play in Austin. So, which, you know, a sort of a home course for him. So who knows? But so there's only been one U.S. team that has won the Zurich since it turned into a team event in 2017. And that was Horschel and Scott Piercy, which Horschel's actually currently in the Ryder Cup.
Is he?
Yeah, he's 12th right now. I would actually really not love if he was in the Ryder Cup. But
what, you're saying you don't want him in?
I don't want him in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got what it takes.
I don't dislike the guy necessarily, but I don't like get jazzed up about watching Billy Ho play golf.
Yeah.
But if he failed at golf, I bet he'd be one hell of a jockey. I mean, he's a little twit little fella.
I know. Yeah, I think the last big takeaway for me from the event was I just want more team events on the circuit.
Dude, well, I did want to ask y'all about that. What, I guess the last couple years is when I've really been tuning into golf way more than ever before. But I liked that element about the Zurich, but I didn't know if I was the only one that enjoyed the team, the team games.
I mean, I love it. And I think sometimes for the average fan, it's easier to watch. Like you.
Yeah.
And especially like a Ryder Cup format that's like match play team based.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit easier to follow. And I mean, in, you know, the UK, you grow up playing match play. You don't play stroke play. Hmm. So like a lot of the clubs play match play tournaments against one another. Like you're in. Even like, you know, amateur golf, there's a lot of emphasis on match play. You know, a lot of the big tournaments have some sort of a match play format. But there's really not much of that on the tour and not a lot of team play at all. So I love it. I wish that there were a couple more events like it. And it's fun to watch guys play together who really enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, I think it's fun for that and just to watch golfers play together because it's so rare, mm-hmm. right? Just to kind of see how that shakes out. And honestly, I bet a lot of those guys love it too.
Yeah.
You know, I think they love doing something that's team related or team oriented.
Yeah.
When obviously what their team typically looks like is them and their caddy.
They should do some type of like, if they really want to, like, brands want to push their brands, maybe they should do some type of like team, like golf brand teams or something like that. Some kind of like sponsor, like a fun charity event or something like that.
Dude, that's a great idea.
Yeah. You could also do like equipment, you know, as like the kind of the how the teams are made. Yeah. Like I kind of think Morikawa and Wolf were set up by TaylorMade to play together in this event, which by the way, they finished fourth to last. And then I saw Morikawa in the airport on Saturday morning.
Give him a hug.
We were both flying to the same place, which was home. And they were so out of sorts on Friday when we watched them. Like, I think Wolf put it in the water on 9 when we were watching them. Like, they just, like, never, like, I think we saw them a couple different times on Friday and they just never looked comfortable.
Is Wolf, like, maybe they're just super young. Like, I don't know. Joe, what were you
going to say? Well, there's that. I was just going to say, I think, well, Wolf has just looked out of sorts for a few months now, but
yeah.
I don't know if, do you feel like Morikawa was like the guy that did all the work in the group project or something like that? He's like putting it, he's just like, come on, who is this guy? Yes. Or did you feel like he was like struggling as much? Or maybe he's just being brought down by Wolf's poor play? I don't know.
I think there's a combo of those things because like Morikawa was a better like ball striker, but like, you know, we were there on Friday, which was alternate shot, and you both have to hit shots in right. that format to right. score well. I think Rose and Stenson had the low round of the day, 4 under on the day, and That's hard to do, especially like, I mean, it was windy out there and it had been windy for a few days. And so like the course was like pretty dry and the greens were really fast, but like Morikawa on the, so three is a number three is another par three. Morikawa hit it on the left-hand side of the green about 60 feet away. And then they three putted. Mm-hmm. And then on the other par three, we saw nine, like Wolf hit it in the water. And so like, it just felt like neither of them were like on their A game, like at all. And I wouldn't be surprised if like, you know, they also kind of saw the writing on the wall pretty early from their round on Friday and their first few holes that they weren't sticking around. But yeah, shout out to Team Mullet, Cam Smith and Mark Leishman. They got it done. They kind of hobbled home a little bit, but but man, they made it happen. And Cam Smith's second time to win the Zurich in the team format.
Dude, I didn't realize it was his second time. Did he win it in the first year they did it in 17?
I think he won it a year after
18
that.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Do you know who his partner was?
Hold on, I'll look it up. It was another... I'm pretty sure it was another Australian. But yeah, they were... I mean, they were fun all week. Like, we saw them for a little bit on Friday, too. And they were just having a good time. You know, like, they were just, like,
obviously... Does he interact with the crowd some?
No, not really. You had a couple guys kind of interact with the crowd here and there. But I did make this comment to my buddy Wade on Friday that like for the first few groups we watched, it didn't feel like anybody was really having very much fun. And I like in a team format like that, like, man, I'd be joking around a lot, but yeah. Like, this is probably who you would expect would be having a lot of fun, which was Joel Damon and his partner Lanto Griffin. We followed them for a couple holes and they were having a good time, and they were playing terribly, which is always nice to see that like someone can still have a good time while they're playing poorly. But yeah, they seemed like they were having a good time. Cam and Leishman, I think, like, you know, playing well also helped them having a good time too. But they, man, they just ham and egged it like really, really well. Like, one of them would hit a bad shot, and then the other would hit a really nice recovery
pick
shot.
Pick him up a little
you
bit.
Know, and then like. Even on Sunday, Cam hit it in the water on 16, and then Leishman chipped in out of the from the drop, and then, you know, birdied and kind of like set them back to where they needed to be at to end up winning. But yeah, it was such a fun format. Like, I wouldn't mind them kind of switching up the format and having like alternate shot for all 4 days, you know, yeah. Or like do one day of a scramble versus a best ball, you know, like something like that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
What if they did some sort of like Thursday qualifier to like put you into teams, and then you like had a more random, cause like, how do they pick the teams for this tournament? Is it just like you call up your buddy and you're like, hey, you want to go?
Yeah.
I think
and
so.
Then you go. I mean, that's was my impression, but I wasn't really sure.
Who is Patrick like Reed's partner official. In this?
Of course, no.
Oh,
one.
Got him.
He
doesn't need a partner.
Yeah, they just get to pick their own partner, which I think is fun to an extent. But yeah, I did see somebody on Twitter also, Joe, who put like, man, it would be awesome if they did a random draw of partners, which would like kind of be fun. I know it's maybe be awkward because you're getting put with a guy who's like, you know,
I would
never played with.
Very interested to tune into that.
Yeah,
I think like obviously it's a PGA. There's some unique personalities, right? I think that I could see that going both ways.
Yeah, I also like. Okay, so hear me out on this one. Like, you know how the NBA All-Star Game does like. You know, Team LeBron and Team Giannis, and then they like pick their guys from there. It'd be cool if like the tour took like the top 20 of like, you know, the end of the year standings or whatever. You give the top two guys captains, and then they get to pick their team.
Like the schoolyard, baby. You pick, I pick.
And then it's like 10 versus 10 in kind of like a Ryder Cup format, but obviously like not a Ryder Cup, but like you're still doing like team based matches for the top 20 guys of that year.
That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah,
like
I think there's some cool ways
really
to do
cool
that.
Place, mm-hmm. And some different events. fastest hole, for example.
You know? Yeah. Okay, so I just looked it up. Cam Smith's partner was Jonas Blixt.
Huh, okay. Was that in 18?
That was in 17. That was back when Cam looked like maybe a little mousy guy. Now he decided to be, and Jonas is actually from Sweden. So, there you go. But yeah, now Cam decided to be a really cool guy with his mullet.
He's doing it. He's sticking to it. Speaking of mullets, Joe, are you doing the mullet soon? Is that a thing? Are we allowed to tell? I know there's millions of people tuning in. Are we allowed to tell them?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Okay. Are you going to put, like, are you going to show our fans?
Yeah,
on OnlyFans.
Okay.
Yeah, subscribe to my my OnlyFans. It's just mullet pictures though, so it's not like
Joey Wedge's sexy mullet pictures.
Just sexy mullet pictures, mostly like draped in velvet and stuff like that. No, yeah, I just got to figure out the girl who cut my who did it last time for me. She's like. She left the place and I don't know where she went, so I've got to like figure out who you can't entrust
anybody to yeah.
Well, it's a pretty heavy vetting process that goes into it all.
She's Cam's personal barber now.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably what she does.
Oh man. Well, yeah, the Zurich, good times, good team event. Always fun to watch some good golf in person. Since when we get out there, it's definitely not good golf, but it's in person. So always good to see.
That's awesome that you got to go.
Yeah.
Wade, I know you're listening. Maybe next year.
Hook a brother up.
Miss ya. Thought we were gonna be friends.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Good. Good stuff here. Appreciate everybody listening. We have more hats.
Ah, they're great too.
Yeah,
great
they're hats. Fantastic. Imperial, the best of the best. That performance, like dry fit material.
Summer's coming.
All our wives have already stolen one, so sorry, there's three less to sell.
Man, yep.
But yeah, go on the shop on the Instagram page or shoot us a DM and we'll get you the Venmo information along with Joe's OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Joe doesn't know what to say. He's embarrassed. All right, over and out.
Adios.